unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
Welcome to hour number two of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do. Every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the air with the SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. As I told y'all before, I would have my next guest on the line. He is just a staple, a signature of college football. The Standard is what I call him. He's been on College Football Game Day for many, many years on ESPN. He calls the game on ABC. He does NFL football on Thursday nights for Amazon. He's one of the best in the business. Honored to call him a colleague, the one and only Kirk Herbstreit, right here.
Great to be with you, man.
What's up, big time? How are you, man?
I'm doing great. How's everything going? I'm doing great. This is a fun time of the year. College football cranking up. NFL getting into December. We're starting to kind of figure some things out. So it's a good time.
Yep. Listen, before I get into any of these football games that's coming up this weekend and what's been happening with Lane Kiffin and all of this other stuff, how has it been doing College Football Game Day with Nick Saban, Pat McAfee, of course, my man Desmond Howard, Reese Davis are fantastic as well. But that damn field goal kicking contest with Pat McAfee, that is straight hysterical, man. I mean, it's must-see television. It's absolutely hilarious. What is it like doing the show with them? Because the show's fantastic.
Yeah, we you know, it's changed. I mean, it's my 30th year on College Game Day this year, so it has changed a lot. When I started, it was Lee Corso and Chris Fowler and myself, and Dez came along about 10 years later. And obviously Chris and stepped away, and it changed then. And then Reese Davis came in. And I think when Pat McAfee came on, as we all know, Pat has such a different style and a different way of entertaining, that it was kind of a culture shock, I think, to a lot of the kind of the college football traditionalist. And I think over the last, he's been there now, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, I think. And I think the show has changed and evolved. And you bring Nick Saban now in his second year. And it's a little bit of a yin and yang with those two. And you know, you mix in the emotion and the passion of the sport, and we're having a blast doing the show and setting up on these different campuses around the country. But what's crazy, Stephen A., is the sport, the volatility, the off-season debating, the destruction of what we've known for so many years, the realignment, you know, the college football playoff. There's just so much going on that a lot of people argue about. But what's incredible, last week I did College Game Day in the morning. After I did Eagles Bears on Friday, I flew to Ann Arbor. Yep. I did College Game Day in the morning, stayed for the first half on the sideline of Ohio State, Michigan, left to the FBO, flew down to the Iron Bowl to do Alabama, Auburn. So I got a chance to feel in that weekend, Ohio State, Michigan from the sideline, called Alabama, Auburn. And what's amazing, I kind of just, once in a while you work, you kind of have your head down. Once in a while, I like to step back and be like, damn, as much as they're trying to kill this sport, I don't know if there's ever been more passion and more interest and more popularity around the sport than we have right now. So I'm just trying to be a voice of reason, just try to like follow it as closely as I can. Like you, I have access to a lot of intel and information that, you try to share what you can and find out where we're headed. But right now, this sport needs a lot of help. And we need to figure out a lot of different aspects of transfer portal. We need to figure out the college football playoff. We need to figure out scheduling. There's just so much going on. And the frustrating thing is we don't really have leadership to do that. We have conference commissioners, but they're worried about their own constituents in their own backyard and not looking at the totality of the sport. And that's kind of why we're stuck right now as a sport.
How concerned, and I know you're very, very concerned about it. You brought up the transfer portal, NIL, as something that I'll mention and what have you. We see a lot of things that have transpired. What do you believe, if anything at all, has done the most damage to the college football sport? Is exceptional as it is, and a fan base that's not going away, and the electricity and the momentum and all of this other stuff, it's not going anywhere. I mean, it's the NFL, it's college football, as far as I'm concerned. I don't care what anybody says. In the NBA, you can throw them in there too, but there's no question it's not going anywhere. You see 100,000 people stacking some of these stadiums on college campuses. It's unreal. But what is your concern about what is damaging the sport more so than
that's others? A great question, because usually someone will say, what can we do to fix it? But when you look at what's the most damaging, I think the realignment and what coming out of COVID, I think a lot of the administrators thought about the money and what can we do to maximize the money. Unfortunately, the Pac-12, I'm a traditionalist. I love what used to be the Pac-10, then the Pac-12 evaporated, gone. And all of a sudden you had all those teams with all that tradition. USC is in the Big Ten, Oregon, Washington, UCLA in the Big Ten. A lot of people don't even know this. Stanford and Cal, they're in the ACC. What has happened to where these teams are and the traditions and the rivalries? So I think that has been a very, very difficult thing. We have leagues now with 16 and 18 teams. A lot of the best teams in these conferences don't even play each other. So that's been very, very frustrating. And I think that I played an area with Dez when players had no rights. I mean, we just did what we were told and just showed up and tried not to get in trouble.
And now it's like too many.
And now it's too far. Like it's too many. Now rights. It's too far. Now the players have too much power. They have too much control. Mm-hmm. They have no accountability. And this is coming from a guy with four sons that played in college football. I want them to be coached hard. I want them to learn hard life lessons because I want them not just about football. I want them to learn about football teaches you about getting knocked down and getting backed up and perseverance and sacrifice and team. And man, you learn that the hard way when you don't always agree with the coach, but you get to be 40 and you got a few kids and you go back and see that coach, whether it's in high school or college, and you say, man, I didn't always agree with you, but man, you saved my life. You changed my life for the better. My high school coach for me personally did that because I was going through some really tough times. And man, he didn't care who you were and what you were about. This is the way we do it. And everybody fell in line. He changed so many people's lives. And I feel bad that these players, they're not getting that because these coaches are afraid because there's no contracts. A player, if you got to make me get disciplined or show up at 6 a.m. because you missed this or you didn't go to class or – players like, see ya, I'm out. And I don't think that's real healthy to put that on the players and the coaches and the relationship. So I think finding a way to allow players to have no problem with NIL, no problem with revenue share and the players making money, no problem. But how about having some responsibility and accountability within the structure of this? Same with coaches, you know, this Lane Kiffin thing. Same thing should go on with the coaches. The calendar needs to be adjusted where the coaches aren't put in that spot where Ole Miss is having a magical run. They should be all decks, everybody on decks on hand. And instead, Lane Kiffin left. He took his offensive coordinator. He took his strength coach. Here's Ole Miss in 122 years. They're 11-1. They're headed to the playoff. This should be a time to celebrate. Coaches should not be allowed to leave until the season is over, but they're really put in a tough spot because I think of the timing of all this. And so I'm sorry, there's a lot there that I think is kind of affecting the sport.
It's important. That's
kind of where we are, I feel like.
Well, I think I don't know whether this is good news for you or bad news, but I'm sure that you're aware, knowing college football the way that you do, that senators like Ted Cruz out of Texas, a Republican, Democrat Cory Booker out of New Jersey are trying to come up with legislation to address these very concerns in the sport of college football. And they have both agreed to come on with yours truly.
Oh, good.
So in the next few weeks, I'm going to have them both on to talk about nothing but the college sports, in particular, the college football landscape. I'll give you a heads up when that's going to happen.
Yeah, please do.
But that's coming down the pike in the next few weeks. We're talking to the great Kirk Herbstreit, my colleague at ESPN, College Football Game Day, college football analyst extraordinaire, football analyst extraordinaire, right here with Stephen A. on SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. You brought up Lane Kiffin. My opinion was this. If you could have gotten him contractually to not purge any players from Ole Miss, any coaches from Ole Miss, let him coach and finish and try to go for the national championship because it's Ole Miss and you haven't won a national championship since 1962 when Marilyn Monroe was alive and so was JFK. That's how long that's been, okay? That was my position. What was your position about what – I know you just alluded to what should have happened with Lane Kiffin, but how did you feel about his choice, his decision – to leave Ole Miss with the program he's built, winning 74% of his games in the 6 years he was in Oxford, to go to LSU?
Well, a coach is entitled to, if he wants to move on and go somewhere, then we see that all the time. I mean, a guy at Tulane, John Summerall, just took the Florida job, and you know he's going to stay at Tulane in the American Conference and coach in that game, even though he just did a press conference in Florida. He's going to coach Tulane this weekend, and if they win, they're in the CFP. And so he'll coach in that as well. So it's not like it's something that hasn't been done. I said last week, it'd be great, like you just mentioned it, if they could somehow form a relationship that say, hey, he's going to go to LSU, but in the meantime, let's finish. These players deserve, let's make a run here and see how far we can go with the 2025 team. And after that, you know, we'll go our separate ways. Now, with that being said, the old school of me understands the feelings were hurt from Ole Miss. Their AD, Keith Carter, said, hey, man, you're either with us or you're against us. If you're not our coach, there's the door. See you later. I get that. I'm not saying I don't understand that. I just think in this new era of the transfer portal where Ole Miss brings in 25 new players a year through the portal, a lot of these coaches and players, you know, are on the run. They're in for 1 year. They're out the next. It's just a different time than when I played, when you were stuck for 4 or 5 years. And if you left, you had to sit out a year. So I just thought, man, Ole Miss is having such a great year. If you take the emotion out of it, it'd be cool to see this same team make a run, maybe to a national title. They're playing as well as anybody towards the end of the year. So that would have been ideal. But with that being said, I get Ole Miss's AD saying, you know what, hit the road. You're not staying. The problem is Lane takes his offensive coordinator. He takes Joe Cox, his tight end passing game coordinator. He takes his strength coach. Everybody gets on that plane and leaves, and you got Joe Judge, who was the former Giants head coach, who's sitting there as one of the only offensive coaches left. Like, what's going to happen to this Ole Miss team as they try to prepare for the college football playoff? That's a very messy and unfortunate situation that I hate to see happen to any team.
I had no idea that he took all of those coaches with him. I didn't realize that. I knew he left, but I didn't know all of those coaches had gone with him. So I appreciate that heads up. Kirk Herbstreit, let me get to it because I know you're pressed for time, and I really appreciate your time. I'm looking at the Big 12 championship, BYU and Texas Tech 11-1. I'm looking at the SEC championship, Georgia and Alabama 11-1 and 10-2 respectively.
Don't look at Charlotte. Don't look at Charlotte.
I'm looking at the Big 10 championship. Ohio State and Indiana both undefeated. I mean, there's some big games coming up this weekend. Is that last one, Ohio State and Indiana, the one you're looking forward to most?
I can't wait to see 1 and 2. I thought you were going to get to Charlotte because, man, I don't know how the ACC championship has. And with all due respect to Duke, they're 7-5. We got Miami out there that's sitting there at 10-2 on the outside looking in at the playoff. Wouldn't it be great in this world of tiebreakers with all these big conferences that if you get to a tiebreaker, how about we just go to the CFP rankings? How can you keep your highest ranked and your best team out of your college, out of your ACC championship game? So if Duke wins that, this is crazy. If Duke upsets Virginia, ACC will not have an automatic bid because it's the five highest conference champions, which would be Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, the American, which would be Tulane in North Texas. Winner would go over Duke. And then James Madison out of the Sun Belt would go in over Duke. That's complete chaos if Duke upsets Virginia.
And there's no way that somebody's looking at James Madison as one of the top 12.
No, and we're sitting here like, and Miami's sitting here knocking on the door outside the meeting. Guys, can we come into the playoff? You know, so it's a very, very... Again, going back to your original question, what's hurting the sport, college football playoff, and how these teams qualify to get in? Eventually, it's going to grow, whether it's 14 or 16, whatever it's going
to
be.
I think it should go to 16.
Yeah, it's got
to
be,
should grow to 16. It wouldn't bother me.
Yeah.
It wouldn't bother me. 16 teams. Okay. Let's go to Texas. Sarkisian made a case for his 3-loss team to be in a college football playoff. Do you agree with him?
Well, he called me, too. He must be calling everybody because, you know, he but, you know – when he called me and I said, Sark, I hear you, man. I hear you. But you lost to 4-8 Florida. And then he'll go off on, well, look what we did. Well, look what we did after we played Florida. Look at the teams that we played. You know, look where we went and who we had to play. We beat Vanderbilt. We lost to Georgia. You know, we beat Texas A&M, who's a number three ranked team. We get challenged week in and week out. We're the only
team. They got blown out by Georgia.
They did get blown out by Georgia. And that's why they're going to be, I think they're going to be left out. They got blown out by Georgia on the road. They got beat by a 4-8 Florida team. He said, hey, we played Ohio State closer than anybody else. We weren't playing well week one, and we came within a touchdown of them. They blow everybody else out. So, I mean, he makes a lot of solid points. At the end of the day, I think them and Vandy, who, by the way, Vandy's got, but you know, they're
I was getting ready to ask you about Vandy.
They're a good team.
Yes.
I wouldn't want to play Vandy with Pavia the way he's playing. They're 10-2. They got a strong argument. Miami's got a strong argument at 10-2. Utah's sitting out there. Notre Dame is out there and not an automatic. People just assume Notre Dame. Right. Tonight's rankings will go a long way in telling us what they think about Miami and Notre Dame, who played head-to-head week one. And for now, Stephen A., Notre Dame's been three or four spots ahead of them in the last three rankings. If that gets closer to one spot, then eventually Miami could go by Notre Dame. But right now, Notre Dame at 10-2, everyone's assuming they're in, but we're going to leave a lot of people out.
Right. Last couple of questions before I let you get on out of here, because I know you got to go. Notre Dame, 0-2, and then jump off 10 straight, all by double-digit victories. Beat USC, beat Pitt, but that ain't much to write home about these days, to be honest with you.
Only thing you can
and they're an independent, and they're independent. Some people resent that and feel that's why they should be left out. Where do you stand on that?
Only thing you can go on by Notre Dame is you watch them play, and you're like, damn, they're good.
They can play.
That's the only thing you can go by. Because if you look at their resume, the two best teams they played, they lost to. Week one and week two, Miami and Texas A&M.
Yep.
USC, they beat. USC's not a great team this year. Pitt, they blew out at Pitt. But it's if you set their resume up with all these other teams that are kind of on that gray area bubble, their resume is behind almost everybody's. The biggest thing that they have going for them, based on what the committee has done on these rankings, they just must be sitting in there saying, that's a really good football team. Marcus Freeman's got a great coach. Mm-hmm. They're playing well. They got great backs. The quarterback, C.J. Carr, they might be better than they were a year ago when they went all the way to the end against Ohio State and came up just a bit short against the Buckeyes. So maybe that's what's giving them the pass right now.
Alabama, if they lose to Georgia, they'll have three losses. Do you leave them out as good as they've looked this year?
I don't think anybody should be punished for a bonus game. They went to Athens, a game that Fowler and I called. They beat Georgia in Athens. And now their reward is to go play a bonus game when Ole Miss and all these other teams, Texas A&M, no one else has to go play Georgia. That they got to go play Georgia, a team they already beat. And if they lose to them, even though it's quote-unquote a third loss, people are saying that that should count against them. Well, then pass on the game. If that's the case, we'll settle at 10-2. We'll skip our trip to Atlanta. We don't want to play in the SEC championship. Like, if you're going to get punished for going to play a bonus game and against a team you already beat in their house, and now we're going to lose to them in a second time, and you're going to take us backwards, I don't know. If I were Alabama or any team put in that situation, I'd be frustrated. I don't know if it'll happen, but you'll hear a lot of people saying, hey, Alabama has three losses. They need to go. I don't agree with that if they lose.
Right. Very last question to you. Your football brilliance isn't limited to college. It's also on the NFL level. Amazon Thursday night. You've got the game. Dallas Cowboys, Detroit Lions. I consider this an elimination game.
Totally agree.
I think whoever loses this game is going to miss the playoffs. That's how important this game is. What do you see? Encapsulate this matchup coming up Thursday night.
Well, first of all, as you know, I know you talk about this all the time. The Dallas Cowboys right now, I think after 3-5-1, heading into a bye week, the unfortunate circumstances of a player right around that time who took his own life. Yeah. There was a lot there that just looked like Dallas was shoddy in year one. It just was not going to be a year that they were going to turn things around. And then miraculously, since that bye, they beat Vegas, which wasn't a big deal. But, of course, the last 2 weeks, what they did against the two teams that met in the Super Bowl, First, Philly down 21-0, came all the way back, and then Kansas City last week. I know it caught my eye. I know it's caught your eye. And now they're going up to Detroit against a team that just lost to Green Bay on Thanksgiving, and they're in desperation mode. They've got some injuries. They can't afford to drop to 7-6 with the schedule they have and trying to get in as a wild card. So I'm with you, man. This is a must win, almost a playoff-like atmosphere, even though it's whatever week we're in, week 13. It feels like that for both these teams. So it's rare we get a treat like that at a week 13 where it's a must win. But I feel like that's where we are right now, and I'm hyped up. It's going to be a lot of fun. It'd be interesting to see if Dak and CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens, who have been on fire in recent weeks, can they keep that up in that environment against a very aggressive Detroit defense?
Kirk Herbstreit, one of the very best in the business, my man, the man for College Football Game Day, covering games, college football, ABC and ESPN, ABC pretty much, and Amazon as well on the National Football League, one of the best in the business. My brother, I appreciate you so much, man. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule, and enjoy this weekend. It's a big weekend for you. Starting Thursday night, then into the weekend. Big weekend for you, man. All the best, brother.
Thank you, man. Anytime, man, just let me know.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. Same to you. The one and only Kirk Herbstreit right here with Stephen A. and the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. You heard what he had to say. There's a lot to react to. He is one of the best in the business. Make no mistake about it. Honored to call him a colleague right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, Mad Dog Sports Radio. More of your calls in a minute. Don't go away. It's the Stephen A. Smith Show. Holla.